It's Wednesday, April 3rd. This is InfoWars Nightly News. I'm your host, Paul Joseph Watson. Let's take a look on what's coming up on the show tonight.
Tonight, more evidence of Fukushima reaching the U.S. And yet another celebrity jumps on the gun control bandwagon, but this one's been arrested for gun crimes. Then, Russia's drug control service says Afghanistan opium production soared after U.S. took control of the country and is now 90% of the world's supply. All that and more on tonight's InfoWars Nightly News.
Top story tonight, gun criminal Snoop Dogg releases anti-gun song. This is an InfoWars.com story. The latest hypocritical celebrity to jump on the anti-Second Amendment gun control bandwagon for no purpose other than increased notoriety is rapper Snoop Dogg, who of course now calls himself Snoop Lion. In a new video for the song No Guns Allowed, featuring Drake and Corey B, Snoop Lion interjects anti-gun lyrics with footage of mass school shootings and newspaper headlines regarding the tragedies. The video opens up with President Obama speaking during the memorial for the children killed in the Sandy Hook elementary school shootings. So, basically, Snoop Dogg is now the poster child for the Obama administration's gun control agenda. This is a wannabe gangster who himself has been arrested on numerous charges of carrying illegal guns. He's the new guy to speak out against gun violence. And when we put this article together earlier today, myself and my brother, I searched for Snoop Dogg talking about guns in his lyrics. And I think we included 5 songs in this actual article, but we probably could have included about 50 because every single song I came across was about how Snoop Dogg, in his lyrics, likes to glorify gun violence, likes to glorify an imaginary version of himself gunning down victims. So this is just a sample, and there's literally about 10, 15 examples in the article. If you see me on the solo moves, best believe that I'm strapped. 4-4 Trey 8 or AK-47, because slowly but surely send you on a stairway to heaven. Just put my finger on the trigger and pull back and lay a punk MF-er flat. That's Snoop Dogg, the anti-gun control advocate. Pro-gun control advocate, anti-violence advocate. 3 and to the 2 and 2 and to the 1. Head away, sent away, get away, Snoop's got a gun. Here's another. Look at what the doc brought in. A Chrome 38, a 44 mag, a Mac 10. So what are you going to do? What are you going to do? I got the gauge, an Uzi, and the Emma effing 22. Here's another one from Snoop Dogg, the anti-gun violence poster child. So Snoopy, he went straight to the trunk of his car, and what did he get? He got his gun, and they start running hard. He started firing, and then he just charged. Plow. Run, N-word, plow. Run, MF-er, plow. Run, MF-er, run. And that is just a sample. Basically, every song that Snoop Dogg has released with the word gun in the lyrics is about this fantasy that he has about repeatedly gunning down his victims. And yet he's now released a new song backing the Obama administration's gun control agenda. So he's basically a wannabe gangster who flashes gang signs in all his videos. The guy's been arrested numerous times for illegal firearms. There was also an interesting incident which he was acquitted, where he was actually driving a car during which somebody in the passenger seat allegedly shot someone. Research that. It was proven self-defense, but very interesting in the context of this story. And he repeatedly raps about mowing down people with guns. And he's the Obama administration's new gun control poster child. And no, you've not entered the Twilight Zone. You can go watch the video on InfoWars.com. Poll. Almost one-third of Americans believe in New World Order. Almost one-third of Americans believe that a secretive power elite is conspiring to rule the world by an authoritarian global government, according to a new national poll. A survey conducted by Public Policy Polling, labeled by many as a pro-Obama outfit, seems to be aimed at ascribing belief in crazy conspiracy theorists to Republicans by mixing in real cover-ups and conspiracies with outlandish ideas. Now, bear in mind that PPP is an organization that is basically an Obama front. In fact, back in November, we approached PPP to do a poll on TSA story, which was eventually conducted by Harris Interactive. And they refused to conduct the poll at the last minute because, quote, they didn't like the material on Infowars.com. Because basically we're not apologists for the Democratic Party establishment. So their work, and numerous other people have said the same, is politically biased, which is the last thing you're supposed to be if you're a polling agency. So now they came out with this poll, which contained probably about 20, 30 questions. And you can read them in the article, but they crafted them basically to elicit the required response in some cases. But in other cases, it kind of underscores how a significant majority of the American population is still in a coma. 28%, according to this poll, believe that there is a secretive power elite with a globalist agenda conspiring to create an authoritarian world government or new world order. But as Alex documented on the broadcast today and in a video special we've got coming up in a moment, the elite itself admits that its goal is a new world order and that the centralization of power into a one world government is unfolding, is part of their agenda, is all admitted out in the open. So let's go right now to that special report by Alex Jones. Here it is.
Public policy polling has conducted an extensive poll investigating Republicans and Democrats' belief in the conspiracy theories. Now, the term conspiracy theory is used to simply demonize people who do not trust known liars. How many times have big corporations and governments been caught lying? Secret medical experiments, lies about WMDs, the list goes on and on. And the corporate collaborator media that works with the government continually demonizes anyone that says that there are corrupt special interests trying to use government to oppress and rob the population. But $85 billion a month for years is given to foreign offshore banks of U.S. taxpayer money. I mean, that's in the news. There are clips on CNBC where they admit that we're now under the control of global government run by private central banks.
Is this global governance at last? Is it one world, the central bankers in charge? Jim Urio, you say we've got some downside here, a correction in the markets. Fine. But aren't we all just living and dying for what the central banks do? Aren't we all just counting on the fact that there's a Bernanke put and that we won't go any lower than, say, 5% down from here?
Of course we are. To answer your question, we are absolutely slaves to central banks.
Mr. LeCamp, do we work for the central bankers?
We know that.
Mr. LeCamp,
we do.
That's how the ultra-rich actually get most of their money, is using government to consolidate the general population's money and give it to themselves in corporate welfare and bailouts. So, of course, their paid-for media that they own is going to sit there and lie to the viewers. You have to understand something. The public policy polling group comes out and says, do you believe in the conspiracy theory of world government and a corrupt cabal that wants to take over? The very way they phrase that, do you believe the conspiracy theory? Just like they ask, do you believe in the conspiracy theory that billions of bullets have been bought? Do you believe in the conspiracy theory that there are Homeland Security drones? I don't know. It was in Associated Press and Wired magazine that 3 years ago they're arresting, quote, poachers and cattle rustlers with them. It's like saying, do you believe in the conspiracy theory that the sun came out? What they're really doing is saying, hey, culturally, you're not allowed to believe there's corruption. And we're going to ridicule you and put a label on you if you say we're liars. Think of the hoax of coming out and saying, oh, close to a third of Americans, sadly, believe there's a move to establish global government, when the Vatican's calling for it, when British prime ministers and Al Gore and the head of the European Union, Herman Van Rompuy, and just hundreds of others have called for a new world order And then they define it as a global corporate government run by private banks that you pay carbon taxes to.
But it is the awareness itself that will drive the change. And one of the ways it will drive the change is through global governance and global agreements. But the many business leaders who have been present here are among those taking leadership in other ways.
Yet these problems can be overcome by a joint effort in our, and between our countries. 2009 is also the first year of global governance with the establishment of the G20 in the middle of the financial crisis. The climate conference in Copenhagen is another step towards the global management of our planet.
This is collective action, people working together at their best. I think a new world order is emerging, and with it the foundations of a new and progressive era of international cooperation.
That's their definition in the Financial Times of London, and now for World Government Headline, written by their foreign desk editor. That's the definition in Time Magazine, a bank of the world. So I'm reporting on real things, and they're saying, oh, no, he's a dangerous conspiracy theorist. Remember Robert Gibbs, the former White House press secretary, saying he would be ordered to lie about drone programs that are on record to exist.
When I went through the process of becoming press secretary, one of the things, one of the first things they told me was, you're not even to acknowledge the drone program. You're not even to discuss that it exists.
Wow.
And so I would get a question like that, and literally I couldn't tell you what major asked, because once I figured out it was about the drone program, I realized I'm not supposed to talk about it. But here's what's inherently crazy about that proposition. You're being asked a question based on reporting of a program that exists.
Right.
So you're the official government spokesperson,
exactly,
acting as if the entire program, pay no attention to the man behind the curtain.
Right.
What's happening there? They're counting on the public not going and looking at the documents, or not going and finding out there really are 2 billion bullets, or 30,000 drones funded in the new FAA funding last year, and that they're launching now. And it's not just people like Robert Gibbs on the so-called left. It's gatekeepers like Glenn Beck, who says there are no FEMA camps, even though there are official Army documents talking about their establishment, where it talks about re-education and taking your Social Security numbers and the Army confiscating your guns and the Civilian Inmate Labor Camp Program and the Emergency Centers Establishment Act. But Glenn Beck can just say, none of that's true. Alex Jones is a fascist. He's not a conservative. He's a liar. And by the way, they haven't gotten millions of bullets. Don't believe him.
It's amazing because he runs InfoWars, and really smart people have come up to me and said, you know, I just saw this on something from InfoWars. Do you know anything about it? And I'm like,
yes.
Yeah, stay away from it.
Immediately discounted.
Somebody came up to me just 2 days ago and said, we just bought like 1.5 billion rounds of Homeland Security. And I said, I don't know, might be. Well, I got it from InfoWars. And I'm like, okay well,
no.
Then I can tell you right now, it's most likely not true.
Ladies and gentlemen, if we can have a debate about the world government being established that's totally authoritarian, if we can have a debate about the government arming to the teeth while trying to disarm us, if we can have a debate about the things that are happening in this culture, then we can change things because we have right on our side and the facts. But we can never get to that debate because they just say, no, it isn't true. And you're like, well, yeah, it is. And the debate becomes, is it real or not? What will shatter that is if you will go search yourself for the Civilian Inmate Labor Camp Program at army.mil. If you will go and if you will research different data sheets that Paul Watson and others have put together, like Bankers Declare U.S. and Europe Conquered, that is full of dozens of video clips and links to establishment publications announcing world government as a good thing. You see, if you promote a corporate fascist world government as a good thing, why, you get invited to the Council on Foreign Relations and on CNN. But if you say, hey, I don't want an unelected group of bankers looting me and taking my liberties and robbing my pension fund, well then, what are you talking about, crazy man? That doesn't exist. They're playing mind games with you. So as Ronald Reagan said, trust but verify. go out and check my claims. Find out they're true, and then ask yourself, why are they lying to you? The answer is getting in their face and saying no. Because if you're watching this transmission, you are the resistance. There's not some secret cabal of good guys that are going to save you. It's me. It's you. It's us that are going to turn the tide. It's always been that way throughout history. So don't just let the globalists dictate reality and tell you there's no drone program, there's not 2 billion bullets. Speak out. Tell the truth. Show the evidence. It's on the federal government's own websites. And more people will start having the courage to tell the truth. There are a lot of people in the power structure who aren't really bad, but they're scared and isolated. Like Pat Robertson. He's coming out more and more and criticizing tyranny.
Long trains full of armored vehicles, personnel carriers with armor. What are they for? The army going into battle against the enemy? They're used by Homeland Security against us. Ronald Reagan said the most fearful statement in the English language is, I'm from the government and I'm here to help you.
Oh boy, I totally
agree. Imagine what Homeland Security is doing. It's just awful. But we're going to talk about how much ammunition they're stockpiling. Who are they going to shoot? Us?
I'm Alex Jones signing off for this report for InfoWars Nightly News. Be sure and subscribe to our nightly news at PrisonPlanet.tv. We fight the construction of the prison planet with the InfoWar. We're working as hard as we can to create a new renaissance, a new enlightenment for humans into the 21st century instead of the new dark age, the war against reality that the globalists are pushing. And finally, that's what the new issue of InfoWars magazine covers, available at InfoWarsStore.com. Please support our fight for liberty. Please join us in that fight. Please defend reality.
So, from big banks to the UN's Ban Ki-moon to the Pope, all have called for a new world order. And to deny that that's what we're moving towards in the light of the admission that that is what's unfolding is, of course, completely deluded. But this poll also contains other admitted historical facts framed as conspiracy theories by the survey and then rejected by the majority of Americans because of the way that the question is asked. So, for example, it states that only 14% believe the CIA shipped cocaine into America to fund the Contras in Nicaragua. But that was completely documented, of course, in the Dark Alliance series by Pulitzer Prize winning author Gary Webb, who of course later committed suicide by shooting himself twice in the head, if you believe that. So it was completely documented. You had Freeway Ricky Ross, who worked directly with the CIA to sell cocaine on the streets of LA, other inner cities in America in the 80s, to fund the Contras in Nicaragua. It's part of modern American history, and yet according to this poll, only 14% of Americans believe that it happened. And get this, a majority of Americans believe that the Bush administration did not intentionally mislead the nation about weapons of mass destruction, even though it's admitted in the Downing Street memo that the facts were being made to fit around the agenda. And of course, it was also completely admitted that the WMD hoax was fabricated by a single discredited source known as Curveball. And then, of course, you had the Niger Yellow Cake on all the rest of it. Completely phony. Yet this poll tells us that 45% of Americans, compared to 44% who don't, believe that the US government, the Bush administration, told the truth, did not lie about weapons of mass destruction. So the overall impression you're left with is, you know, look at these crazy people. Some of them even believe that shape-shifting reptoids rule the world. And they also believe that the CIA ships in the drugs and that WMD were never found in Iraq. So mixing in genuine crimes and cover-ups with known outlandish nonsense so as to characterize all government malfeasance as some kind of baseless, debunked conspiracy theory. So as you saw in the special report by Alex, the New World Order is admitted. It's completely proven. A world government is forming. Centralization of power is unfolding. And it's all admitted, contrary to whatever this poll tells you. Next story, Mike Adams, Natural News. DHS excuse for buying billions of rounds of ammo exposed as yet another blatant lie. Responding to a letter from Senator Tom Coburn, the Department of Homeland Security, an agency that has no business being armed in the first place, says it's buying billions of rounds of ammunition in order to significantly lower costs. It's all about saving money, you see. And of course, this DHS response is actually weeks old. In fact, I think it's from back in February, but it's only being reported by the mainstream media in the past couple of days, who are again regurgitating it with absolutely zero inquiry as to its accuracy whatsoever. Because we've said it a million times on this show, I've written it in my articles probably a dozen times now or more. The DHS is primarily buying hollow point rounds. They're twice as expensive as full metal jackets. So if you believe the baloney argument that this ammo is being bought to save money, then why are they buying bullets that cost twice as much? Because the DHS tells us that the bullets are for training purposes only. So why, if you want to save money, are you training with bullets that cost twice as much money? You could just as easily use full metal jacket and save half the amount of money. So their explanation, buying in bulk to save money, just doesn't wash. No one's asking that question and no one seems to be answering it, despite the efforts of now 15 plus congressmen who have tasked Big Sis with attending a congressional hearing to give answers, which she's refused to do. Janet Napolitano, of course. So, you know, just like the leftist websites that claimed, based on one glib statement by a DHS official, that they debunked the entire conspiracy theory about Homeland Security bullet buys, this again is going to be regurgitated by the media to say, oh, they've already answered the question. Well, no, their response only increases the amount of questions that we're asking, because they haven't addressed the main fact, which is they're not saving money because the bullets they're buying cost twice as much as standard firing range training bullets that they could be buying. So Homeland Security, again, is not being honest with the American people, just as they lied about the safety of, you know, the X-ray body scanners for years before being forced to remove them. It appears that they're lying once again. Moving on now to global news. Islamic cleric issues fatwa permitting rape of Syrian women. Another Islamic cleric has gone public to announce a fatwa that permits US-backed FSA rebels to rape non-Sunni women in Syria as part of a, quote, sexual jihad that has seen girls as young as 14 transported into the country to service the need of anti-Assad militants. And this concerns a report out of Human Events where a Jordanian sheikh, and whatever gives him the right to say this, God only knows, has basically come out and said that it's perfectly acceptable for the Obama-backed terrorists in Syria to abduct and rape all non-Sunni Syrian women. So you're talking Christians, you're talking Alawites. If you're an FSA militant, you can just have your way with them, apparently, because this Jordanian sheikh says it's morally acceptable. And as CNS News reported last week, girls as young as 14 are being sent to Syria from other Middle East and North African countries following a call by a different sheikh, a Saudi scholar named Mohammed Al-Afiri, for rebels to engage in, quote, sexual jihad, a so-called temporary marriage that amounts to little more than sex slavery. These are the rebels that your tax money is paying for. Now they're actually transporting in 14-year-old girls for them to rape. And this Saudi sheikh, this other sheikh, say that it's morally acceptable as part of a sexual jihad. Completely backwards, asinine, Stone Age thinking. And yet it's going on. Mainstream media dares not even talk about it. And is it any surprise? I mean, they're still being portrayed by the mainstream media as freedom fighters, yet they can't even maintain the sanctity of their own extremist, fundamentalist beliefs. So, you know, they decry all the infidels as being morally bankrupt for refusing to sign up for their Sharia law, and yet they're the ones raping children. And they call people who oppose them infidels, and they're the ones raping kids. Try and get that through your head. And the fact that it's all being paid for, $500 million now, with your tax dollars. 1 million died from Afghan heroin drug production, 40 times higher since NATO op. This is a report out of Russia Today. Heroin production in Afghanistan increased 40 times since NATO began its war on terror in 2001. The head of Russia's Federal Drug Control Service stated, adding that more than 1 million people have died from heroin from Afghanistan since then. And this is Viktor Ivanov, who gave a conference on the drug situation in Afghanistan and said that since Operation Enduring Freedom began, over $1 trillion has been invested into transnational organized crime from drug sales. And this report details how just 1/100th of opium fields in Afghanistan have been eradicated compared to coca bushes in Colombia. And as we've seen on Fox News, the opium fields are not being eradicated in anything like the numbers that they should be, because they're being guarded by British and American troops. All the money from the drug trade is being laundered by giant transnational banks. This is a quote out of the article. Alongside the refusal to get rid of the poppies, there is the apparent interest of international banks in dirty money, states the report. The head of Russia's drug enforcement suggested US and European banks tacitly welcome and, quote, encourage the inflow of drug money. Well, you mean like HSBC, which allowed almost $1 trillion to be laundered through its system by Mexican drug dealers, and basically they got a slap on the wrist? Opium cultivation in Afghanistan has increased 657% since the US military invaded the country, according to the UN's own figures. And it hasn't happened by accident. It's about reinstating the Golden Crescent drug trade run by the CIA, which of course is just one of the many goodies that they got as a result of 9/11. And of course, as we reported in the past, Hamid Karzai's brother was publicly running the opium trade in Afghanistan, with the record shipments going out of the country to Europe, to America. He was also on the payroll of, you guessed it, the CIA. Just a coincidence. But of course, this is, you know, business as usual for an agency that launders the drug money through the megabanks, and then the megabanks get merely a slap on the wrist for doing so because they're tied at the hip. And now they're saying 1 million dead. I mean, that figure seems hard to believe, but this is what this new conference is saying. 1 million dead from Afghan heroin since 2001. That's the death toll that it's raw. And that's coming out of a Russian conference that took place recently, reported by RT. So there you have it. I mean, the CIA, again, are the biggest drug dealers in the world, and the big banks that launder the money for them continue to do so and continue to get away with it. Obama's senior advisor laments drug report effect on the news. This is out of the Washington Examiner. During a playbook breakfast event with Politico's Mike Allen, White House senior advisor Dan Pfeiffer lamented the effect of the Drudge Report on the news cycle. So let's go to this clip.
And so, but the example being that you know, that anyone saying anything can get caught up in the spin cycle in a way that is very damaging. You know, it hurts what we're trying to do on a daily basis, but also is very damaging to that individual person.
So there you see more kind of mealy-mouthed nonsense. On the one hand, he tries to portray Drudge as being discredited and not a serious source of news. But then on the other hand, he admits that it's damaging to the Obama administration's rhetoric. Well, here's a newsflash for Dan Pfeiffer. Drudge drives more traffic than Twitter and Facebook combined. So you better believe that it's going to be damaging to your propaganda. And in a world of, you know, castrated corporate state media who regurgitate White House talking points without question, America is fortunate that Drudge continues to dominate these very same mainstream media outlets. Because his success relies on the fact that he's talking about issues that huge numbers of Americans truly care about, not the fluff and nonsense obsessed about by the Alphabet networks. That's why he continues to have success. His traffic continues to climb. And of course, we're very fortunate at Infowars.com that he continues to link to our articles So no wonder why, again, the Obama White House is attacking the Drudge Report. Final story tonight. Report. Third of U.S. West Coast children hit with thyroid problems following Fukushima. This is Anthony Gucciardi out of Natural Society. Still think that the Fukushima nuclear meltdown of 2011 never affected the United States public. Young children born in the United States West Coast, right in the line of fire for radioactive isotopes, have been found to be 28% more likely to develop congenital hyperthyroidism than infants born the year before the incident. The study followed children born in California, Alaska, Washington, Hawaii, and Oregon between 1 and 16 weeks after the horrific meltdown at Fukushima back in March 2011. Published in the Open Journal of Pediatrics by researchers affiliated with the Radiation and Public Health Project, the information further lends credence to previous documentation regarding the way in which radioactive fallout ended up on U.S. soil. And this, of course, follows the report that came out in February that 44% of children in Japan have thyroid abnormalities in the aftermath of Fukushima. And it's going to take years before we know the full extent of the damage. Remember, the Chernobyl nuclear disaster caused nearly a million cancer deaths worldwide, according to the New York Academy of Sciences. So again, it turns out that the conspiracy theorists were right. You know, as the governments across the world raised safe radiation levels and told you that nuclear fallout was nutritious, not to worry about it, turns out not to be the case. And one of the solutions that I use, and in fact, I've been taking it since Fukushima happened, and basically every day since I haven't stopped, is potassium iodine, which of course is the liquid form of that substance. It's different from potassium iodide, which should only be taken in the imminent event of nuclear fallout. But it's actually a health supplement, easily obtainable, and it has numerous different benefits, but the main one is working to reduce the levels of radioactive iodine uptake in the thyroid, which of course helps to prevent the development of thyroid cancer. So it's a shame that all those parents on the West Coast of America didn't pay attention to the reports of the nuclear fallout coming across from Fukushima across the Pacific Ocean, of course, getting in the tuna, getting in the fish. Because if they did, their kids might not now be getting this debilitating illness. So again, the moral of the story is don't believe the crazy conspiracy theorists. Nuclear fallout is good for you. It's nutritious. Trust the government. Trust them that you can survive just by sticking your head in the sand and not paying attention. Stick around, because after the break, we've got an exclusive interview with Syrian activist, Syrian girl, about the latest developments in the war-torn country and how the Obama administration continues to back Salafist, extremist, jihadist, al-Qaeda terrorists in Syria. So stay tuned for that interview. We'll be right back.
I'm Darren McBreen, and these are some of the new items that are available now at InfoWarsShop.com.
Alert the public to Obama's blatant abuse of power with the new Obama t-shirt. Obama's Joker face on the front and come and take it on the back. It's time to publicly call him out for what he is, a tyrant. Defend the Second Amendment with our top seller come and take it t-shirts. And look at that, women's cut tank tops and t-shirts now available. Nice hat. Plus the Don't Tread on Me flag. And now you can become a micro distributor of the InfoWars magazine. Plus get your own copy delivered right to your door each and every month. And if you're tired like I am of you and your family being exposed to polluted drinking water, get the Pro One High Performance Water Filter. It gets rid of all pathogenic bacteria, cysts, fluoride, heavy metals, and numerous other contaminants.
So join the revolution at InfoWarsShop.com.
Hi, Christy Hightower here with a Planet InfoWars quick update. This one actually is going to be a little longer than normal. We've got a few cool things coming up that I'm really excited about. The first I want to tell you is it's in the group on Planet InfoWars, the group called The American Resolution Texas. So if you go to the search bar, just look for The American Resolution Texas. But they're doing an awesome camping trip this weekend, April 6th. It's kind of like an all-day affair. You get out there about 11 noon. They're going to be cooking out, having s'mores, all that good stuff. And it's at Camp Ben McCullough. I apologize if I said it wrong. I know it's only an hour, like, southwest of Austin, so I should be able to say it properly, but Ben McCullough. So check that out. I actually think I might be heading out there. So, because it sounds like a really good time. Everybody's just hanging out in the sun, talking about things that we care about. And then moving on, actually, it's a good reminder that your articles are being read and being reviewed for InfoWars front page kind of stuff. So this is actually a kudos to Planet InfoWars user Keith, who wrote an article. It's titled An Open Letter to Fellow Patriots. We Have a Way Out. Really great read. Go and read it. It's you can find it on InfoWars.com or Planet InfoWars. There it is, featured on the main page. Great job, Keith. Really well written. He just talks about something, you know, it's from his heart, and it's really obvious. And he's right. There is a way out. It's just that we all have to just stay courageous and inspired. So go be inspired and read what he wrote. And I'd like to feature a group. Now, I'm going to kind of try to do this a little more often. My new favorite featured group, at least as recent, is the Live Show Comments group. We love it so much that we're supporting it through posts and things. So while you're watching the Alex Jones Show in the morning or the nightly news at night, or if you just want to go and chat, go and register, of course, and then log in, and it's just a big chat stream. So you essentially connect and post pictures and links and all that good stuff, and it's really, really active, especially, obviously, during the shows. So if you're watching this very update right now on the nightly news, go and check out the Live Show Comments section, the group, on Planet InfoWars and start commenting. Now, be nice, of course. and then the very last one, this is an upcoming event. So I've covered a couple of events. We've got one this Saturday at the Ben McCullough campgrounds, but then we've also have a Second Amendment rally that's going to start. It's called Ride for Liberty. It's starting in Dallas, April 17th. They're literally going to ride horses through the streets of Dallas. They've already gotten the permits. They've already talked to the right people. I've been in contact with them. It's really exciting. I love seeing things like this happen. And the reason we're featuring this is because it ends up in Austin on the April 18th. And stay tuned, because actually, kind of tying back to Planet InfoWars, there are two people that have met in the Dating Freedom Lovers group here on Planet InfoWars, and they're going to the rally. So I'm going to go down there and see if I can interview them and talk to them a little bit, while, of course, they're being an activist couple. So just wonderful things are happening on Planet InfoWars, and it just makes my day every single day to log in and read your comments and get messages and be on the site. So go and check it out. If there's a good group, go search for a key term, you know, police state or panopticon or whatever you want to search for. I swear it's there, and these people are great people. So thanks for watching, and Patriots, don't forget, we're always listening, so keep talking.
Jakari Jackson here, and I want to talk to you for a second about water. You know about ProPure, our flagship water purification system, but check out some of our portable water filter products at InfoWarsStore.com. The clearly filtered water pitcher. Also, for those of you on the go, we have the Athlete Edition filtered water bottle. And the RAD Eliminator Pro Filtered Sports Bottle that removes radiation. And keep in mind, we have replacement filters for all of these products. The ever-popular grab-and-go bag favorite, the Life Straw. The Crystal Quest Shower Filter System. And the Aquapod Kit, great for mass storage of water. And while you're at the InfoWars shop, pick up a copy of our latest book, 31 Days to Survival. You can find all this and more at the InfoWarsStore.com. And don't forget, it's your support that funds our operation. Sign up for our free newsletter at InfoWars.com/newsletter.
We're back on InfoWars Nightly News, and I'm pleased to be joined by one of our regular contributors to the show, known to many on the internet for her popular video blogs, which of course have been instrumental in forcing the mainstream media to abandon its narrative on what's unfolding in Syria. And she, of course, goes by the name Syrian Girl. Syrian Girl, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me again.
So before we get into the latest developments in Syria and explore some of the wider issues, let me set the stage with this, which I think is a key question, and that is, why should Americans care about what's taking place in Syria right now?
Well, for one thing, you know, while the U.S. is facing, while the people are facing austerity measures and having to tighten their belts, so to speak, the U.S. government is giving millions and millions to fund terror abroad in Libya, in and now Syria, and before that, of course, Afghanistan 30 years ago. So that's one very obvious reason why it's in the U.S. people's interests to stop this money flow to what constitutes people with an al-Qaeda ideology. And, you know, that terrorism that's being funded might later come back and be used in a attack against the U.S. people, as well as result in the taking of more liberties by the U.S. government of the U.S. people. So these are the interests to the U.S. people. But also, you know, I think everybody wants a country, a nation for which there is a history to be proud of. And I think the U.S. people would be the same in that, because they are proud people and they want to hold their heads up high and know that their country represents righteousness and not imperialism, neocolonialism, and fueling of terror.
Well, that's really the point, isn't it? Because we featured the videos on InfoWars of, you know, the rebels burning American flags, vowing to fly the al-Qaeda flag over the White House in one video. There's others where they glorify the 9/11 attacks and start chanting their support for Osama bin Laden. All the while, the Obama administration sends them $500 million while telling Americans at home that their children need to be groped in the airports to fight the war on terror, while the CIA sends weapons to al-Qaeda terrorists, known al-Qaeda terrorists in Syria, all paid for with Americans' tax dollars while the government's telling them the country's broke. But back when you first appeared on the Alex Jones Show, this notion that al-Qaeda terrorists were involved in Syria was first treated as a conspiracy theory. It then later had to be accepted as fact, but they spun it to portray the terrorist influence as minor. Now it's widely reported that the leading frontline combat fighters in Syria are these al-Qaeda terrorists, supported by the Obama-backed FSA, Syrian rebels. So now the media is coming up with this new myth, which is that these Jabhat al-Nusra al-Qaeda terrorists are a separate entity to the FSA rebels. So tell us about how they're crafting that phony narrative and what the real truth behind the situation is.
Well, I think in the first place, the U.S. acknowledging that Jabhat al-Nusra has the al-Qaeda ideology was just an easy way to use them as a scapegoat. So now when there's any bombing, suicide bombing, beheadings, etc., they can just say, oh, it was Jabhat al-Nusra, but the rebels are a completely separate group and they're, you know, totally angelic, clean. But the fact is that, you know, both, there's more than one Islamist group for one thing, and I'm talking al-Qaeda ideology group. There is a group called Jabhat al-Sham, and even the FSA leaders themselves, like the former head of the opposition, Mawaz al-Khataib, the FSA leader Idris, and one of the commanders, al-Assad, along with 89 battalions, all made statements saying that they back Jabhat al-Nusra and they stand by it. And that was at the time that the U.S. declared it a terrorist organization. Now, since then, there has been a power struggle among struggle groups in Syria between the FSA and the Islamist groups. However, it's not as the media is trying to portray it. It's not secularists versus Islamists. It's Islamists versus Muslim Brotherhood. So it's just like a milder form of the same thing. But there's no such thing as a secular rebellion or rebel group. If there is, it would be a tiny minority amongst the opposition and the armed insurgents. And this media is, the mainstream media is just trying to take this tiny group and make it out to be that, oh, you know, the insurgency is actually secular when it isn't.
And of course, when we say Al-Qaeda, that's merely a label that's adopted by these jihadist groups. It's not an actual hierarchical group within itself. It's an ideology that's taken on, that's adopted by these different extremist groups. Briefly explain that concept to people.
Well, as you know, the original Al-Qaeda was something that the CIA built in Afghanistan, and that even had loose structure. And as you know, there was one guy who blew the lid on it. I believe his name was Cook. And he said that Al-Qaeda is basically just a database of jihadists around the globe. And that's exactly what Al-Qaeda has really flourished and become, just a meme, an ideology that people have, that they want to control the region under a their brand of Sharia law. And even in Sydney, in Australia, and all the way in the UK and other parts of Europe, there are people saying, you know, Osama bin Laden is my leader, I'm Al-Qaeda, holding up placards in protest saying that they support Al-Qaeda. So it's actually an ideology that's been fueled by media such as Al Jazeera, who often used to show Al-Qaeda recordings from Osama bin Laden and Zawahiri as well. This is what's happening around the Middle East now.
And of course, the former British minister Robin Cook echoed that when he said that Al-Qaeda was just the base. It was just an entry in a computer database. So that echoes what you said. We've reported on the beheadings, the desecrations of churches, the attacks on schools and universities by these glorious freedom-fighting rebels. And there's a report out of the Atlantic Wire today which completely whitewashes the rape crisis that's unfolding in Syria right now, claiming that only 1% of the rapes taking place are carried out by FSA rebels, and basically blaming all the others on, quote, regime soldiers. And what they completely fail to mention, as I put together in an article today, is that numerous Islamic clerics have come out and issued fatwas permitting the rape of Syrian women by FSA fighters, as if they had the right to do that. And there's virtually no reference to this, no stories about it in the mainstream media. So, Syrian girl, tell us about this bizarre, abhorrent sexual jihad idea that's now being circulated amongst these rebels.
Well, this is just going a step back to the Al-Qaeda ideology. Now, the Al-Qaeda ideology is based also on a cult within Islam, which goes by the name of Salafism or Wahhabism. And it is these Salafi sheikhs that are basically sanctifying rape. You know, the refugee camps on the Jordan border are now facing lots of people from Saudi Arabia, the home of Salafism and Wahhabism, coming to the refugee camps, either raping girls or purchasing them and marrying them temporarily, which are like sham marriages that sanctify prostitution. And, you know, under normal circumstances, these people would never have had a chance with these young girls. And a lot of them are, in fact, older men. So onward with that, in a totally different place, in Tunisia, there was a sheikh called Muhammad Al-Arafi who said that he called on the women of Tunisia to go to Syria to participate in a sexual jihad where they would be helping the jihad if they were to sleep around with the insurgents. So as a result, you know, a 16-year-old girl was kidnapped and her parents were on Tunisian TV holding up her photo and begging for her kidnappers to return her. So, and then as another sheikh, this is the most recent event, called Yasir al-Ajwulani, said that the Christians of Syria are basically war loot and that the rebels can go on and just rape them because, you know, they're part of the commodity that they can gain from the war. And I just want to say on this point, this cult within Islam is not Sunni Islam. I hear a lot of people blaming Sunniism for this, but Sheikh Bouti, who is the head Sunni in Syria, called out against these rebels and actually called for jihad against the jihadists. And as a result, a few weeks later, he died in a bombing of his mosque along with 42 of his worshippers. And the Syrian military is majority Sunni as well. So I just want to put that out there because, you know, people are getting a lot of unfair hate, and I too am a Sunni. So, yeah, it's really alien to us in Syria to have such a sick, demented, warped representation of religion.
And some of these girls, they're not women. They're as young as 14 years old. I mean, who are these moron sheikhs to proclaim that rape is acceptable anywhere? I mean, what would they say if somebody proclaimed it acceptable to rape their families? How would they feel? I mean, why does anyone even pay attention to them?
Because it suits them. I mean, I'm sure that if he tomorrow sanctified alcohol, then they'd all be drinking it up. So I think at the end of the day, so long as it suits people, they'll believe it.
Well, it's sickening. I mean, these are the same people who cry Allah Akbar, you know, as they're beheading people in anticipation of their 72 virgins, while simultaneously they're having sex with 14-year-old girls. I mean, they decry people who oppose Sharia law as infidels based on some pious religious morality. And they're paedophiles, they're raping children. Obviously, it's a minority, but, you know, it's a growing cancer, isn't it?
Well, absolutely. And you hear about reports of 60-year-old men going to the... This was on Channel 4 News. 60-year-old Saudi Arabian men trying to find 13-year-old Syrian girls. Now, it's always been sort of a trend of these Gulf Arabs coming to Syria to look for wives. Usually they're from more poverty-stricken areas. But what's happening now is that they're engaging in these also temporary marriages, and some of the girls are being kidnapped and basically put into brothels. And if, you know, they sign a piece of paper that says, oh, I'm going to marry you for an hour, they think that that religiously sanctifies prostitution. And if, you know, in some cases it's just blatant rape, girls younger than 13 as well.
And these are what the media calls freedom fighters. They don't even stick to their own crazed fundamentalist ideology. They don't even live up to that. A minority of them, hopefully it's a minority, are, you know, murdering paedophile rapist scum, basically. So why don't the moderate FSA denounce Jabhat al-Nusra, denounce these extremists? Why don't they say they're not associated with them? They do the opposite. They pledged allegiance to them, didn't they?
They did. And part of the reason is that they're afraid of them. They're afraid of getting into infighting. And also, you know, the Jabhat al-Nusra has been made more powerful than them. And I think that is partly because of Qatar and Saudi Arabia making the funds flow in particular to those very extreme groups. But I also think that the U.S. would not let it happen unless they wanted it to happen. And I know in the media they're going on about the threat of the Islamists in Syria and the jihadists and al-Qaeda ideologies. But from just lessons of history, you can tell that the U.S. government's interests are to fund these extremist groups, not these moderate groups, these moderate groups being just Muslim Brotherhood. Not that moderate at all, but more moderate, at least, than the al-Qaeda ideology.
Well, it's the fact that they airlifted in the Libyan Islamic Fighting Group terrorists after they'd done their dirty work in Libya. And they killed US troops in Iraq, admitted their NATO powers are airlifting them into Syria. So it's complete BS that they're just supporting the moderate rebels. They airlifted in some of the very terrorists that killed US troops in Iraq, as we documented, as the Libya conflict was ongoing, into Syria to begin that chaos. So now the New York Times admits CIA shipping in guns, while the Obama administration claims it's not giving lethal arms. It's all complete propaganda. Let's move on, though, to Eric Haroon, who was this American citizen, former US Army veteran, who fought alongside Jabhat al-Nusra, the al-Qaeda terrorists, in Syria. He was then arrested upon his return to the United States by the FBI, after which his dad said he was working with the CIA. Surprise, surprise. And we wrote an article a few weeks ago now, near the beginning of March, I think it was, asking why Obama hadn't drone-striked Haroon, just as they did with Anwar al-Awlaki and, of course, his 16-year-old son. And lo and behold, 1 week, I think it was 1 or 2 weeks later, Eric Haroon was arrested. So isn't it amazing that these Americans, these Brits, are called freedom fighters when they're in Syria, but as soon as they come back home, they're arrested as terrorists?
Yeah, it's a real hypocrisy. You know, in the US, the UK, the Australian governments, they're all allowing terrorists to go and fight in Syria, but then are making laws that say once they come home, they'll be arrested. So they're afraid of them to be in their own countries, but they don't mind sending them over to Syria to bomb the cities. So it's interesting that Eric's father claimed his son was CIA. But, you know, before we call on Obama to drone strike Eric Haroon, we should probably call on him to drone strike himself, since he's been the biggest funder and purveyor of terror around the world recently.
Moving on to the online propaganda war that's ongoing between the pro-FSA and anti-FSA camps, I noticed about a week ago that YouTube was openly hosting Al-Qaeda's YouTube channel, otherwise known as Jabhat al-Nusra. Al-Qaeda in Iraq killed US troops, detained terrorists who chop people's heads off on a regular basis. Meanwhile, they're censoring videos of war crimes committed by the FSA and other so-called violent material while hosting Al-Qaeda's YouTube channel. Tell us about this amazing, again, hypocrisy that's going on with censorship and YouTube at the moment.
Well, you know, it's an attack on all fronts of any media that is against the mainstream media's line on Syria. My YouTube channel has almost been pulled once, and now it's all again hanging on a thread. One more flag and it's out. Press TV has been completely censored and is no longer allowed on US TV. And this is pretty significant. In a country where you're supposed to have freedom of speech, surely you're supposed to be able to listen to whatever media you want. Press TV is not allowed in America. And also the Syrian news channels are being bombed and targeted by the FSA, and they admit that the Syrian state channels and pro-Syrian state channels are being targeted. All the while, I'm not promoting censorship of any kind. I oppose censorship of any kind. But in the meantime, hypocritically, Al Jazeera and other Al-Qaeda spreading media, like the YouTube channel you mentioned, are just allowed to remain. So this is the fight we're facing, you know. Even with the mainstream media, with all their money and all their influence, they still see us as a threat. So at least that's a compliment.
Well, it seems as if you report on the atrocities allegedly committed by Assad and his forces, then you can have all the free speech you want. If for a second you try to focus on what the FSA have done, the atrocities they've carried out, then you're shut down almost immediately. And as you've said, they've targeted people across the board for that. But people who read the Al-Qaeda magazine Inspire go to prison in most countries. And then there was a Somali Al-Qaeda group that had an account on Twitter. They were banned very quickly. But apparently YouTube, while censoring everybody else, seems to think it's okay to host Al-Qaeda's YouTube channel. So they also censored one of your videos regarding a mercenary group, didn't they?
Yeah, I had posted a video of a mercenary corporation called Aegis Sub. It's British-based. They were driving through the streets of Baghdad and randomly shooting at cars, and actually resulted in a car accident and some deaths. And this company claimed copyright on this video. I'm not sure how you can copyright yourself killing people, but that's what you did. That's what you do. And YouTube upheld it, and the only way to counteract it is to give them your full name and address, and I'm not prepared to do that. But that's one of the injustices, that Another one is community guidelines. Even though the YouTube policy states that you can have violence if it's for documentation of war crimes, they're very selective about which violence they censor. So, of course, if the violence is being perpetrated by a side that they want to show as bad, they might keep the video. Otherwise, they'll remove it. The Yellow Man was censored until I complained about it. And now another video censored, which is from 6 years back. Basically, there's a campaign of people trying to flag my channel, trying to bring my videos down. And for the most part, I see YouTube is going along with it and accepting some of the ludicrous reasons to take down my videos and take down my channel.
It's part of the hypocrisy that's run through this entire conflict, as I said. Voices that speak out against the FSA are seemingly strangled, whereas those who, you know, talk all day about Assad's atrocities are allowed free rein. But to finish, let's clarify this conflict from a broader perspective. Why are the NATO powers and the US attempting regime change in Syria, backing these terrorists to do it? What's the ultimate goal as you see it in the region?
Well, basically, the whole idea is hegemony, to bring the whole world under their control. From the IMF and the World Bank, neither of which Syria has any debt to, that's one thing they're trying to introduce to Syria. That's what's happened to Libya now. Also, Syria has outlawed genetically modified food, which is bound to get people angry who are in high places. And as I said in one of my videos, genetically modified food is a way to control nations, because those nations have to rely on your company to buy the seeds, because that's the contractual obligation. And it leads to mass starvation, as in India. That's what's happening with the farmers. And of course, one of the biggest reasons for this war on Syria is the security of Israel. Israel occupies Palestine, but also Syrian land. And Syria, along with Iran, are the two countries left in the Middle East that oppose Israel and actually stand a chance to resist its aggression. And that's why the U.S.'s agenda is to break apart the alliance between Syria and Iran. And as you know, Iran is a Shiite state, and Syria being a secular state, by turning Syria into this Salafi state, or even an Islamist that backs Saudi Arabia or Qatar, then it's definitely going to break ties with Iran. And that's what even the protesters themselves were chanting in 2011, that we don't want Iran. So this was all actually explained in an article by Seymour Hersh in 2007, and it's called The Redirection. And I recommend everybody go ahead and read that article. It's a bit long, but it basically explains exactly what's happened since September 11th, since the Iraq war, and leading up to this point. And, you know, also, I believe in 2006, General Wesley Clark said that Syria was on a list of 7 countries to be attacked within a decade. The others were Libya, Iraq, Afghanistan, Sudan, Somalia. So really, all of those countries we have seen be attacked. And it's part of the reshaping of the Middle East. I know one other part of it, idea of the new Middle East is to try to cut up the countries in a different way. So basically, cutting up my country, my homeland, is on the agenda.
And Syria seems to be a lot stronger than those previous examples in standing up against that new world order hegemonic agenda, so we hope to see that continue. We'll leave it there for now, but just tell people how they can find your YouTube channel and your other social media outlets.
Thanks a lot. My YouTube channel is Syrian Girl Partisan with an S. I also have a new YouTube channel called Syrian Girl News, and no spaces or anything in between. I have a Facebook, Partisan Girl, and a Twitter, Partisan Girl. So I would be very grateful for your follow.
Okay, Syrian Girl, thanks for joining us on InfoWars Nightly News.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you. That's it for this edition of InfoWars Nightly News. Be sure to subscribe to PrisonPlanet.tv and we'll see you on the next edition. Bye for now.